grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you. Almighty God, on the mountain you showed your glory in the transfiguration of your Son. Give us the vision to see beyond the turmoil of our world and to behold the King in all his glory. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
A reading from the book of Exodus, the 24th chapter. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there. I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. To the elders he had said, "Wait here for us until we come to you again, for Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of God settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. The word of the Lord. Let us pray Psalm 2 responsively. Why are the nations in an uproar? Why do the peoples mutter empty threats? Let us break their yoke, they say. Let us cast off their bonds from us. Then he speaks to them in his wrath, and his rage fills them with terror. Let me announce the decree of the Lord. He said to me, "You are my son. This day I have begotten you." You shall crush them with an iron rod and shatter them like a piece of pottery. Submit to the Lord with fear, and with trembling bow before him. Happy are they all who take refuge in him. Glory to the Father and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. A reading from 2 Peter chapter 1. We did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but by men and women moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 17th chapter. Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzlingly white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord. The story of the Transfiguration takes place on the top of a mountain, on a mountaintop with a bright, shining light. Do you have any special mountain places? Do you know mountains or ranges of hills? I grew up in South Dakota, and there is a mountain range, well, at least by South Dakota standards, called the Black Hills. Or in Native American language, the Lakota people call them Paha Sapa, holy hills. And for those of you who are not familiar with the Black Hills, that's where Mount Rushmore is. The National Monument is at Mount Rushmore, is in the Black Hills. Paha Sapa are very holy hills, and one place in particular called Bear Butte is a holy hill. And it's that place that young Lakota men climb that mountain for a vision quest. It's that holy hill where the old men of the Lakota tribe climb that hill to sit and to pray. For generations now, the Black Hills have been in a contested territory. The Native American people are in legal battle with the United States government about who owns the land. The Native people say no one can own this holy ground, this holy land, these holy hills. And the government says, well, but we do. So there's always this ongoing battle in South Dakota about who owns the land. In the midst of all of this legal battle, one tribal member said, "But this is holy ground. It's the place I go to listen to my Maker. The place I go to listen to my Maker. Holy ground." Now, the ancient people of Palestine and Israel also had holy hills. A French scholar called these places memory sites, places that hold, just by geography, hold a power of being able to be in touch with your past, with your origins. For the Hebrew people, the hills and the mountains of Israel and Palestine are such memory sites, holy hills. We heard in our first reading from the book of Exodus, Moses goes to one of these holy hills, one of these memory sites, And he climbs up Mount Sinai and waits for 6 days. And the vision of God wraps around him. He enters into the very presence of God. The story goes on to say, we didn't read this part in our reading this morning from the book of Exodus, but the story goes on to tell that as Moses came down the hill, down that mountainside to see the people, he had to cover his face with a cloth because his face was so bright and shiny that the people would be afraid when they saw him, if they saw his shining face. A poet once, writing about this event, said he had flakes of the sun on his face. What a beautiful image. So Moses covered up the brightness of his face. Centuries later, Jesus climbed up a holy hill, one of these memory sites, and taking with him his three closest companions, his three disciples, Peter and James and John. And they, as they went up that holy hill, Jesus reminded them of their origins, of their past, showed them the beginnings of their faith. And in that experience, they were able to draw strength from the presence of God in their lives. On that holy hill, Peter and James and John were given a glimpse of God. They had a glimpse of God's face in the brilliance and the pure, clear light on that mountain peak, on that holy hill, on that memory site. Their eyes were opened to that sacred light, that light that shone so bright on Jesus' face. His face and his clothes were bright shining, brilliantly white, dazzlingly white. The light shone out from him, and with its illuminating rays, it illumined their minds and their hearts and their souls. Peter and James and John were given a glimpse of God on that holy mountain. I think God likes fireworks and laser beam shows and bright lights as much as I do. Every morning and every night, we get a beautiful light show. And even more spectacular, we read in the first paragraph of our scriptures in the book of Genesis, God made the light, and that light was so strong, so bright, that it broke the darkness into night and day. That light was so bright, and God saw that the light was good. It pleased God. That light was good. And God took that great, good light, and that star led the Magi to the child in Bethlehem. And that good light shone on the face of that baby, so much so that the Magi were able to recognize the Savior of the world in that baby. That powerful light, that good light, continued to shine in the power of Jesus and the disciples as the blind were made able to see and the sick were made well. That powerful good light of God announced the dawn of Easter day. God really does like the light and those who follow in the light. Shining over and over again, that light shining on us, those who dwell in the shadow of darkness, those who dwell in the valley of death even. In the mid-17th century, a poet, John Donne, wrote these words, God brought light out of darkness, not out of lesser light. He can bring thy summer out of winter, though thou have no spring. Though in ways of fortune or understanding or conscience thou hast been benighted till now, wintered and frozen, clouded and eclipsed, damped and benumbed, smothered and stupefied till now. Now God comes to thee, not as the dawning of the day, nor as a bud in the spring, but as the sun at noon. High on that mountaintop in the Holy Land, on the peak called Mount Tabor, the light that transfigured Jesus was strong and bright enough to open the eyes of Peter and James and John until they saw that Jesus is truly the Messiah. And in seeing that bright light, they fell to the ground in fear. The bright light and the voice of God did not produce in their hearts faith, it produced fear. They fell to the ground and hid their faces. And what does Jesus do for these cowering disciples but come to them in tenderness and in care? For these cowering, scared, stiff disciples, Jesus raised them to new life. Isn't it interesting that it wasn't the glorified, bright, shining Jesus that gave them new life? It was the ordinary Jesus standing by himself who reached out in tenderness, touched their shoulder and said, "Get up, don't be afraid." Jesus, tender, caring, touching them in care and compassion. The disciples were transformed by that tender touch, those encouraging words. They were transformed from cowardly, fearful, inactive, anxious people into confident, brave, active champions of the faith. It was the gentle touch of Jesus that transformed them. How much do we need that healing touch of Jesus? How much do we need that life-giving, transforming touch on our shoulders as well? And not only do we need it, but in addition to our own selves being touched by Jesus, I think that we are called also to reach out to the world with that confident, assuring touch. Not just that we are the bright, shining, glorious children of God, but also that we are to be human beings who offer healing and a life-giving touch to those who are scared or worried, anxious or fearful, hurting people. The people that we come in contact with on a daily basis, those people we see every day who need to heal, who need to feel God's confident touch on their shoulder, who need an encouraging word from us. Like Jesus tenderly touching the shoulders of the disciples and telling them to get up and not be afraid, we too can reach out in support and concern for others. One of my favorite contemporary poets is Annie Dillard. She wrote, "A question from agnosticism is, who turned on the lights? The question from faith is, whatever for? The holy light on the mountaintop was not meant to dazzle and overwhelm, but was meant to empower and set free. It was intended to aid those first disciples in putting into perspective Jesus' teachings about carrying the cross, about being on the journey to death and his own suffering, as well as their own suffering. It was meant to light the way, to be a light for the journey with Jesus to the cross and beyond. In a way, that transfiguration event gave those three disciples night vision. You know those goggles that the military have that allow them to see in the dark? The transfiguration experience on the mountaintop allowed the disciples to see through the darkness of their own lives, to see the light shining, the bright light of God shining. But that experience gave them night vision. They were able to see through the darkness of their lives and to go on without fear. God's light shines in us as well. It's in baptism that we get night vision. We've been given in baptism the ability, the strength, the power of God, the bright shining light of God, to be able to see through the darkness of our lives and to go on without fear. In the baptism ritual, the candle is presented to the newly baptized with this imperative, shine with the light of Christ. We are told, shine with the light of Christ. We who are the baptized children of God do shine with the light of Christ. Through grief and fear, through doubt and cynicism, through violence and war, suffering and death, our way is illuminated by the holy light of God's presence and love. We first see it on the mountaintop, and then we carry it down into the flat lands of our daily lives, and even into the valley of the shadow of death. The light of Christ shines in each one of us. That light that casts out fear and shatters the darkness, that light that is present even in the darkest and most fearsome times of our lives. Baptism doesn't take away the difficult times in our lives. Night goggles don't take away the darkness, but they allow the wearer to see through the darkness. Baptism and the light of Christ doesn't take the darkness out of our life, but it allows us to see through that darkness because we have the light of Christ, to see through that darkness and to live without fear. Yes, we have crosses to bear, pains to endure, crises to face. As we move this week into the season of Lent, when we pay more attention to the cross of Christ, and to our own crosses, we remember as well that we have been given night vision. We have been given the ability, the strength, the power of Jesus Christ, the brightness of that light to see through the darkness. We do have crosses to carry, but we don't carry them by our own strength. We have crises, but we don't face those crises alone. We walk in darkness, but we don't walk blindly. We are the beloved, precious children of God, and in faith we see Christ's glory, and his strength becomes our strength. His brightness becomes our light. We walk in the light of Christ. And my prayer is that our vision may be clear, and that we may feel Jesus' hand on our shoulders. Get up. Do not fear. Walk in the light of Christ. Amen.